How's that? Is it on? It's good? Yeah? Okay. All right. My family is normally here. My wife and kids, for those of you who've seen them before, they are resting tonight. We've had a very busy week and a great night last night. I'll share a little bit. But it's funny, when I came walking in, Jamie and I were talking and super, super excited that Daniel and Natalie are here and for you guys, and it's just going to be awesome. But what was neat is we were talking about this town, and the longer you live here, the smaller it gets, right? Because you move, you don't know anyone, whatever. But within the kingdom of God, within the Christian circles, you, all of a sudden you start connecting with people and meeting, and the town just seems to get smaller, which is really a beautiful thing. It's really cool. So that was kind of the parting comment that we went in, and then we went in here and prayed and got a chance to meet Daniel for the first time. And I come out and I meet Natalie, and come to find out, so just as a side note, my normal job is in sales, but one of the things that the Lord, I believe, has called me to do, it's been a passion of mine for 20 years or so, is I've always wanted to coach high school football, and I probably expressed that to you in times past, but he's given me an opportunity to do that, and this year I'm the head football coach for the junior varsity team at Dos Pueblos High School, which has been awesome. I had all the boys over last night, which is why we're all so tired. It was a long day yesterday. But it was just phenomenal. But part of that is that he wasn't there last night. He was spending time with his boys. But there's a gentleman by the name of Dan Lee who kind of oversees the lower football group. And he and I are very good friends. I saw him yesterday, et cetera. We'll come to find out that Natalie is there on the property almost every day, running a nonprofit, right? So, case in point, like, it's just awesome to see what God does, and now all of a sudden we're connected, you know. It's just, and now I'm looking forward to conversations and just seeing what God does in the midst of that. So keep me in prayer for that, though, just as a side note, you know, and I do have a point to all this with the message, but, you know, the Lord really does have our hand, has his hand in our lives. I mean, if your eyes are open and your hearts are willing to just go and do what, you know, just be available for the Lord, he is going to bring situations into your life that are incredible. I sat there last night and I was just amazed. I was so thankful because, you know, a lot of times out in this world, especially now, things seem so divided in our society. You know, and I'm sitting out there, and it's just a unique situation with this football team because you have black, white, Hispanic, Asian, you know, all backgrounds, some married, some, you know, from married homes, some not married, some they don't even have parents, some, you know, wealthy, poor, I mean, just across the board, and you just look at the diversity and you just go, man, this is so refreshing, it's so beautiful, so wonderful. And then, so I'm sitting there trying to get to know each one of these guys a little bit more, because for the most part I'm out there on the field with them, yelling at them in some regard, but to get them in shape, but really getting a chance to sit down and talk. And I got a chance to, you know, it's interesting because within the school system you can't really, you got to be careful, you know, there's some constraints about religion and, you know, faith and all of that, and that's fine. But what was cool is I was able to bring them over to my house and share a little bit about who I was without putting any stipulations on them at all. But I got a chance to say, hey, you know, I'm a pastor, I preach, we, you know, I'm a chaplain for Santa Barbara Police Department, you know, do you know what that is, et cetera. And I got a chance to say, hey, just so you know, because of that, like, I've seen a lot. You know, don't just know that if there's anything going on in your life, you know, you can come to me. That's what I'm here for. It's not about football. It's about just helping you guys, mentor you guys. And there's never going to be any judgment, and, you know, it's going to be a safe place. Well, that was just my statement. Then we all had food and playing, you know, bags, cornhole, and just playing video games and just being, you know, silly. And this boy comes up and he sits down and he just would not leave my presence at all. I just felt like the Lord just said go. And I just went around the corner and there was two boys there, and he just sat and opened up his heart for an hour. He lives like four doors down from me. And super sad story, but, and I won't go into all the details, but I mean, he lost his dad to a heart attack. His stepdad poisoned his mom, you know, she died. He went to prison. he lost, you know, five brothers who were all dropouts. You know, I mean, it's just this crash of a life. And yet here he is, sitting in my backyard, getting to have a conversation, getting to be, you know, the hands and feet of the Lord. You know, and who knows where that's going to lead? He's right down the road from me. And just, you can just, he's just craving love. You can just see it. He moved four times last year, four different high schools his freshman year. And so I just bring that up just because it's amazing what God does. We don't have to be equipped. You know, we feel like we're ill-equipped sometimes. But I want to encourage you to know that, for you to know that when you have a relationship with the Lord, he will show up in your life. And it's not about you, that he will bring people in your life because he knows you're faithful. And when the time is right, you will just know the things to say, whether it's to be quiet, whether it's to share wisdom, whether it's, and I will tell you just as a side note, a lot of times the Lord will bring people into your life that have gone through similar things that you have, so that you have wisdom and experience to be able to impart into those lives. Now, I didn't have a lot of stuff that was comparable to what this young man had gone through, but I've seen and you know, done enough where I can at least help him guide through the next steps of him getting some responsibility and picked up and moved along. So anyway, keep me in prayer for that, because it's kind of new for me. And I've historically been kind of within the confines of the church, but now the Lord is calling me outside of the church and to do some amazing things, I think, and it's just an honor and privilege. So anyway, side note, that's that. So. Okay, so we are looking through Scripture, Philippians 2, 19 through 30. Let's read that. Actually, I'll do it from here. So Philippians 2, verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord, and I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." So if you recall, Paul is writing the church in Philippi. Is the very first church ever installed, ever placed in Europe. And so he's in prison, he's writing, and when I was here a few weeks ago, we talked about just how amazed I was, anyway, with the joy. And it was, I think Nathan was talking earlier just about the joy, we were praying for joy earlier, that the joy that Paul had in this regard. But what was unique to me as I was studying this passage, and there's several things we're going to pick up on this, but things shifted. It's interesting what the Lord does sometimes. He gives me certain things to talk about, and usually the night before or the morning of, he shifts things up on me. I don't know why he does that. But as I'm reading through this, let's look at the very first verse. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus too." Many times we go right past that statement, don't we? We kind of want to get to the action. And I admittedly, I've probably read this passage out 50 times, 100 times, 200 times in my life. I don't know. I've read it several times this week. And every time you kind of get through that, and then you want to get to what's coming. What's the action? But really, we could put a period right there. but I trust in the Lord Jesus. Period. That's good enough. That's the gospel. Right? I trust in the Lord Jesus, too. And so the question for all of us, and we're going to go through this whole section, but really that's a challenge. If we could get that, we're 90% of the way there. Right? Paul, he trusted in the Lord Jesus to bring Timothy to the Philippians. Right? So the question for all of us is, number one, do we trust in the Lord? But not only that, what do we trust the Lord to do? Do we really trust him in those things? Do we trust him in our relationships? Do we trust him in our finances? Do we trust him in, you know, again, maybe our relationships with our boyfriend, with our girlfriend, with our spouse? Do I trust the Lord to be there and guide me as a father for my kids? Do I trust him when I'm having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month? Do I trust him to pull me out of that? So we want to sit on that for a while and just realize that the trust in the Lord is what's so key for us, right? It sounds so basic that we do go right by that. Again, we trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly. But I ask you, do you trust in him? And I would encourage you this week, this afternoon, this week, I sat there this morning with the Lord, and he asked me, he goes, what do you trust me to do? And I had to be very specific. I had to think about it. I mean, I trust in him, obviously, and I can praise him for all of these things, but in my heart, I felt like he was asking me very specifically, Jeff, what do you trust me to do? And that requires you to get down sometimes your deepest fear. Because he knows, he wants you to bring that forth to him. Said, yes, I bless you, all of these things. But what do you trust me with? And so I want you to think about that in your life. Are there issues, are there things in your life that you may love the Lord, you may trust in the Lord, you may know Jesus, but what do you trust him to do in your life? And if you don't trust in him in anything, you can be honest. I was honest with the Lord. If there's things that maybe hope is deferred a little bit, maybe, you know, there's been a dream of yours for a long time that you haven't seen come to pass, and all of a sudden that hope starts to dwindle, and you're like, Lord, what's going on here? Admit it to him. Talk to him about it, and he'll meet you there. He'll have a conversation with you, and he'll bring you hope. A lot of times we don't understand what he's doing, but bring it to him and let him encourage you. So let's talk about Timothy real quick. So Timothy, who is Timothy? But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you. So Timothy was a young man. And in the Bible, any young man is really considered under 40. So I'm no longer a young man. You all are young, so praise God to that. But Timothy was a young man. He had traveled with Paul for upwards of 10 years. He's mentioned throughout the gospel. We have throughout Acts, throughout so many of the epistles that Paul wrote, and we have 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy as he was guiding and leading a congregation, a church there, to give him wisdom, etc. But he was really the spiritual protege of the Apostle Paul. So Paul had poured into this young man, but it was unique in the fact, the same way that Paul was, and this is, again, this kind of goes back to my point of God will use you regardless of your circumstance, regardless of your past, because God has put you in a specific area. He will use your heritage to impact the kingdom of God. So in this case, Timothy, his mom and his grandmother were Jewish, and his father was Greek. So he had an ability to understand the Jewish culture, and he also had the ability to understand the Greek or the Gentile culture, and probably had empathy for both, speaking, writing, all of that. He understood it well, and God used that. And then Paul and Silas, traveled with Timothy as they were evangelizing and all of that. And then he was considered truly a true son of Paul. Okay. It says here, 24, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your heart, or to sincerely care for your state. Do you understand what like-minded is? Like-minded is, it's more than just having kind of the same faith. Like, we're all Christians here, or maybe you aren't. You know, there's some of you who haven't given your life to the Lord yet. But even if you're all Christians, we have that in common, but we may not necessarily be like-minded in all things. You know, have you ever had that? You know, there's lots of people that you may like or you have acquaintances with, right? And you have a relationship with them, but then there's just some people that, man, you just get, right? And they get you. And there's just something unique about that. That's what like-mindedness is. And it's super powerful in the kingdom of God when you kind of have the same spiritual DNA, if you will, right? We have churches all throughout this community, all throughout the region, all throughout the nation and the world. Why? Well, because we have a diversity of things, but congregations come about when there's a like-mindedness, that we have the same values, that we have the same way we want to go about things, that we may have a diversity of talents and gifts and everything else, but there's that kind of unity in the spirit, if you will. And that's what Timothy and Paul had, because Paul knew a lot of people, he'd seen a lot of people, but there was very few people where there was like-mindedness necessarily. So Paul could entrust this to Timothy, and Timothy, being the protege of Paul, kind of had that similar DNA, and that's super important. I would say for all of us, and this is for me as well, it's so important to even have a mentor in your life, a spiritual mentor, right? Someone that you can have like-mindedness with. Not only peers, but like Timothy had for Paul, with Paul, a mentor. Someone who has walked the path before you. It's just in that way, and the reason this is important is because let's say you're going through some struggles, right? If you can call up that person and say, this is what's going on in my life, then that person, if they're like-minded with you, if you are like-minded with one another, they can speak into your life, right? It's one thing if I have a Christian man in my life who is older than me or I respect, and I call and I say, hey, you know, I'm going through this. If we're not like-minded, if he may be a Christian man, but or a non-Christian, but if his worldview or his priorities or how he sees life, right, how he makes decisions in his life, if they are different than mine, it kind of, it's like sandpaper a little bit, right? He may be a perfectly great guy, I may be a perfectly great guy, but it's just what he's sharing with me doesn't really fit in my life very well, right? So the like-mindedness is so powerful and so key. And this is what we have here. So Paul says, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own. For all seek their own. Not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Now, you know what? I was going to talk about that a little bit, but I just want you to know that, how do I want to put this? Lord, help me in this. We all struggle, right? We all struggle. People are going to let you down. And I want to encourage you to know that, especially within the church environment, it's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's church, okay? It's not Nathan's. It's not Jamie's. It's not Daniel and Natalie's. It's not even yours, right? You're here as a body, and that's a beautiful thing, and the Lord instills the church for so many purposes, to do his will amongst and be light amongst amongst the world. But don't put your everything into them, okay? And the reason I say that is, it's the Lord's church. It's people always have good intentions. I have good intentions, and I've hurt people, sorry, I'm getting tripped up on this a little bit. I want to encourage you that just stick with the Lord and be faithful and pray for your leaders and help them to be protected in everything. Daniel and Natalie have a big target on their back now. They've stepped into something new. Okay? They need your prayers. They need your prayers, and I know they will admit that. They're stepping into a situation that is to guide all of you and to shepherd you, and they're made accountable to the Lord for your spiritual needs, right? So pray for them. Pray for Nathan. Pray for Jamie. Pray for all of your leadership, because it's a tough road out there, and it's difficult. Okay, I just want to move on from that. Paul talks about the fact that Timothy has proven character, right? What does that mean? The Lord will bring you through situations that forge you, right? And strengthen you. But why does he do this? Why does he do this? Character, I know this, the Lord honors character over gifting. Okay, character over gifting. You can be the most charismatic, gifted, anointed person in the planet, and people flock to you for those things. But if you don't have the character to handle that, when all of that comes, when that weight of responsibility comes, when that adoration comes, if you don't have the character, you get crushed, right? You just get destroyed. And then through that, all those people that were looking towards you for guidance, for hope, for change, their lives get crushed as well. And so he is going to forge that character for his glory. Psalm 66 says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid afflictions on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment." The Lord is so faithful, if we do not quit, to get our character forged. So press on for sure. And I can say that having walked now with the Lord for 20 years, there are so many things in my life that I would not wish upon anybody. But I'm actually thankful for every single one of them because of the forging that it's done. Paul says, "As a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel." What is he talking about like that? With that, he's talking about sonship and spiritual fatherhood. Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. He says, 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Yeah. So again, the importance of spiritual sonship, what I want you to understand, and this is daughtership too, when I say sonship, please understand, it's spiritual sonship and daughtership, spiritual fatherhood, spiritual motherhood. It's important to understand, I believe, that the Lord brings you through stages of life. And each of those roles change. When we first come to know the Lord, we are spiritual sons and spiritual daughters, right, of Christ, of God. And then I believe if we're willing that the Lord moves us along the continuum, so we go from, say, I'll just use a son or a daughter, he then moves us towards maybe a brother, sister role, where it's not just about us, but now it's about our brother and sister in Christ. And then through that process, he allows us maybe even to a husband or a wife, where now all of a sudden we have a new dynamic and we have kids. We become a father at that point, and now we have kids, and it's really no longer about us. Now it's about others, right? And now it's about generations, and now it's about impacting others. And he's moved us from a place of it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me, which is great, but now it's starting to say, yes, it is all about you, and it's about everyone else that I love. And he moves us out of the son stage into the father stage, and then into the spiritual father stage, which is where you're helping and guiding all sorts of people. Generational mindset, spiritual motherhood, spiritual fatherhood. I believe in my heart that one of the greatest lacks in the church today is a lack of spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. It's so needed, and that's what Paul is talking about here. And he's saying, this is my spiritual son. He is just like a son works with his father out in the field. He has done that with me. And so you see this aspect of Paul truly pouring into Timothy, and Tim truly gleaning from Paul in this regard. Let's talk about Epaphroditus. So who is Epaphroditus? It says that he's been sent. We don't know a whole lot about him. Epaphroditus is only mentioned in this book. And what I love about this is he is a powerful, powerful man. As I did some studies on him, it's truly who he is. This is again one of those encouragements that I give you, how we started out, just saying being open, being willing to be a vessel. You know, one of the things that amazes me every time I get to travel around and talk to people is how many people God uses in powerful, amazing ways that we never hear about, ever. And Epaphroditus, even though he's in Scripture, he's one of these men who, you know, there's certain people that are listed in and out of Scripture all day long. We think of them as the ones that God really uses. He used Epaphroditus powerfully. So Epaphroditus was in Philippi, and he was being sent to Paul to tell Paul what's been going on in Philippi. But look at the things that Paul mentions of him. He's a fellow worker. He's a diligent worker. He's working hard, right? He has that work ethic. He's a fellow soldier. He's a fighter, right? And that's important in the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Ephesians 6, if you haven't read through Ephesians 6, talks about the whole armor of God, right? Putting on all of those things, and I won't go through it for the sake of time, but if you're not familiar with that, please read it. It is super powerful. And then 2 Timothy 2:4 says, yet therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So this mindset of having to fight, do not back down. We all get beat up. We all fall down, but get back up. Get back up. Rely on the Lord for your strength and ask him, what do you trust in him for? And do you trust in him for your strength? One of the other things that Paul mentions is that he's a messenger. He's a messenger. At first, I thought that was maybe an evangelist. When you look at the Greek word, it's apostolos. It's an apostle. So this guy who's barely mentioned in Scripture is an apostle. He's a soldier of Christ. He's a hard worker. And then it says, one who ministered to my need. He is a pastor, and he's a healer, right? He's all of these things. Incredible man of God. He's kind of similar, I would say, even to Jesus in the fact of his traits. He's a healer. He's a pastor. He loves people. He's ministering to their hearts. He's an apostle. He's a messenger. He's been sent out. He's a soldier in the Spirit. He fights. He fights in the Spirit, will not back down, right? He pushes out darkness. and he's a diligent worker. What I want to just finish with, and I almost just completely revamped everything that the Lord was going to have me share, because I wanted to do honor, because we need to sit through, you know, we go through Scripture, and I wanted to speak a little bit and bring out a few highlight points of Philippians 2 verses 19 through 30, and I wanted to get through a few things to just highlight for you, but really I want to go back to the very first verse. But I trust in the Lord Jesus too. And then I think he says it again. Yeah. Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus too. Verse 24. But I trust in the Lord that. So I ask you again, what do you trust in the Lord to do for you? To do for you. Or that he will what for you? That he'll come through for you in what? That he will provide what that's in your heart. And I'm not just talking, you know, material things and all that. Those are all very, very important. But seek your heart and ask him, what do you trust? For me, you know, I trust that he is faithful in the sanctification process, meaning he is faithful, that he is making me day by day more and more like him. But I also trust in the fact that when my schedule gets crazy busy and I feel like sometimes that I don't have time for anything, I have my little Fitbit here. Walking around yesterday in practice, I walked over 15 miles yesterday, just going all over the place, right? Sometimes I just get so tired, but I trust in him to use me in the way that he needs me used. And he showed himself again last night. He shows it to almost every day. And so, ask him. But be real with him. If you don't trust him, tell him. There's all sorts of heartbreak out there. If you don't trust him, let him know. If you don't believe that's safe, look at the Psalms. Look at what David says. He is ticked off at God half the time. And then he praises him for it. Right? It's all right. God can take it. He knows where you're at. He just wants you to be real. So that's all I really, really have for you. But let's finish up in prayer.